VICT Consultancy.
Hello everyone, this is Paul Warner and welcome to this introduction to VMouse for NVDA. As the name might suggest, VMouse is an application which makes it easier to use the physical mouse or the touchpad with NVDA, something which we NVDA users have to do from time to time because unlike other screen readers such as JAWS, for example, there is no special mouse cursor which you can use with the keyboard to send the mouse pointer around the screen to read what you want. And of course, it can be very, very difficult to use the physical mouse with NVDA because the mouse tends to fly around like Speedy Gonzales. So that makes it very, very difficult to use. In addition, though, to making it easier to use the mouse, VMouse also incorporates a complete redesign of the way we use the review cursor, object navigation, and routing cursors to each other. And not content just with that, VMouse also contains a couple of great utilities which will make it easier to navigate around programs and windows which were previously either totally inaccessible or very, very difficult to use.
Mouse information and pointer control.
One of the first problems encountered when using a physical mouse is that if you can't see, then you don't know where the mouse pointer is. NVDA comes with some kind of solution to that, and you can find this in the mouse settings dialog, which I'll go into by pressing Control NVDA and M.
Mouse settings dialog. Report mouse shape changes. Text unit report role play audio coordinates when mouse moves checkbox not checked. Checked. Chapter 01.
I have enabled a checkbox called play audio coordinates when mouse is moved. So I'm going to move the mouse. And if your stereo is working, as they say in Monty Python, that beep will be in your left ear or left speaker, and I'll move the mouse to the right.
VICT Chapter 1. Paid VICT Consult.
And it's over on the right now. If I move the mouse towards me, move it down the screen, the pitch of the beep.
17:47.
And I'll move it up.
17:47. Paul Warner at his desk. Page Chapter 1. Navigation tool.
And of course, NVDA actually reads out some text as it passes over the text. Move it. Try and move it into the middle. Here. Can be useful or fun until you get bored with it, but it doesn't really give you precise information, does it? I'm going to turn that off by going back into the dialogue.
Mouse settings done. Enable text unit report role when mouse play audio coordinates when not chapter 01.
And that's it turned off. What would be better in some circumstances is to have a report of the exact mouse coordinates. And this is the first thing which VMouse does. So I'm using the physical mouse here. I'm going to put the mouse pointer all the way up to the top left corner of the screen.
VIC system.
And I'll press Control Shift left mouse button.
Mouse screen position at 0 across and 0 down.
So it's at 0 across and 0 down. The origin for giving these coordinates, unlike a graph, which is bottom left, is top left on a computer screen. That's the point of origin. So when you take the coordinates of the mouse pointer or anything on the screen, it is a number of pixels across and a number of pixels down. And if I go to the bottom right corner of the screen, I'll get the maximum for both.
This was invited 17: start VICT consultancy 17:40.
And I'll do Control Shift left mouse button.
Mouse screen position at 1023 across and 767 down.
Which essentially gives the resolution of the screen. And if I change the resolution, that number, those numbers would be different. That was Control Shift left click to find the screen coordinates of the mouse pointer. And of course, you can get those coordinates using special keyboard hotkeys too. So we know how to get the coordinates of the mouse anywhere in the screen.
VICT
I'm going
system.
To put it randomly somewhere in the middle.
VICT.
And take the coordinates here.
Mouse screen position at 165 across and 203 down.
Mouse screen position. So that's an absolute position from the top left corner of the screen. But what if you want to know the coordinates of the mouse pointer inside the active window, remembering, of course, that the current window might not take up the whole of the screen if it hasn't been maximized, for example? Well, let's go back to the top left corner of the screen to the origin at 00.
System. Mouse screen position at 1 across and 0 down.
1 across, 0 down. It would be good to have a function to find out the coordinates of the mouse pointer in relation to the currently active window, and you can get this in VMouse by pressing Control Shift and right mouse button.
Mouse window position at minus 166 across and minus 77 down.
Now it's interesting there that the mouse coordinates reported were minus figures. The reason for that is that the mouse pointer is lying outside the window. It is to the left of the left edge of the current window, and it is above the top edge of the window, so the coordinates are given in minus. Now you could manually, of course, move the mouse down the screen and to the right in order to get into the window, but VMouse provides a single hotkey to do that, and that's Windows key with left click, and that toggles between two modes, screen mode and window restriction mode. I'm going to press Windows key, left click.
Window.
And that's the window restriction. I'll press it again.
Screen.
Screen. Press it again.
Window.
Window. And now I will do Control Shift right click again and see where the mouse is.
Mouse window position at 20 across and 20 down.
20 across and 20 down. So just by using that toggle keystroke, the mouse has been positioned just inside the top left corner of the currently active window. And that saves you having to fish around using the mouse to place it in the currently active window if it hasn't been maximised. Now, normally, of course, you wouldn't maximise a window to ensure that that wouldn't happen. But there are some smaller programs where that just isn't possible. And this is where this particular function in VMouse will help a lot. In addition to that, though, the window restriction mode restricts the area in which the mouse pointer can move. It restricts it to the current window in focus. So if I were now to try and move the mouse pointer back up to the top left corner of the screen, i.e. outside of the current window.
Application, go to website, go to website, go to website, go to website.
Now I'll press Control Shift, left click to get the screen coordinates.
Mouse screen position at 167 across and 77 down.
And as you can hear, it didn't say 0 across and 0 down. But I'm going to press Control Shift, right click.
Mouse window position at 0 across and 0 down.
So it has kept the mouse pointer right at the top left corner of the open application and has stopped me from inadvertently placing the mouse pointer outside of the boundaries of the current window. So that makes it a bit safer to use the mouse inside an open window. I mentioned earlier that using the mouse was a bit like trying to tame Speedy Gonzales. VMouse addresses this by introducing features which enable you to control the speed of the mouse and also the direction in which the mouse travels. And you do this by going into a special mode, one of two new modes which VMouse has introduced, and this one is called Pointer Control Keys, and it remaps the 12 function keys to control the mouse behaviour. And you can go into this mode by pressing Windows Alt and left click on the mouse button.
By Jane Austen. Pointer Control Keys.
And it says Pointer Control Keys. Now this is a toggle, so if I were to press the same hotkey again, Windows Alt, left click.
Function Keys.
It's back to Function Keys, which is the ordinary mode. But I'll go back into Pointer Control Keys and show you what each of these function keys does.
Pointer Control Keys.
The first four function keys deal with the speed of the mouse. You can, of course, set the Windows default speed of the mouse in Control Panel, where you will find that the default speed is 50% of the maximum speed possible. It is actually calibrated as a speed from 1 to 20, and so that the Windows default speed is set to 10. However, as soon as you launch VMouse, the speed is taken right down to 3, which is 15% of the maximum speed. But F1 in Pointer Control Keys mode will take the speed down further, and I'll press that. Now, it makes a beep when you get to the lowest speed, 1. I'm going to use F2 to increase the speed. And it eventually beeps when you get to 20. but I want to return to the VMouse default speed of 3. So if you were to have changed the speed for any reason, you can quickly go back to the VMouse default speed by pressing F4.
VMouse default.
And it says VMouse default. Now let's say, for example, someone came to your computer and needed to use it, a sighted person, and they're used to using the normal 50% Windows mouse speed. Well, you can easily set it to that speed by pressing F3.
Windows default.
And when they're finished, you can press F4.
VMouse default.
And the speed goes back down again. Now, it is perhaps difficult to show you the speed difference over a podcast and audio like this. This is really something you'd have to try yourself. But believe me, it makes a huge difference having such a slow mouse and trying to read with the mouse on NVDA. So what I'm going to do is find the menu bar in Notepad. I'm actually going to take the speed right down to 1.
File.
So I've landed on the file menu item on the menu bar using the mouse here. And I'm just going to go along to the right using the mouse.
Edit. Chapter 01-19.txt-notepad.
Gone off the line, I think.
System.
You can, when you're moving sideways, also move the pointer up and down. And this is where the second group of function keys, F5 to F8, come in handy. Because if you get on the right line, which I'm going to try and get back to
file,
there we are, I'm going to press F5.
Only horizontal.
And VMouse says only horizontal, which means I can only move the mouse horizontally. I'm going to move it to the right.
Edit. Format. View. Help.
Now, that's me going along. I'm going to move it right towards me, go right down the screen.
Application can help.
Moving it up and down.
Application contains commands to manipulate. Chapter. Application contains commands to manipulate the current view or document. Edit file.
So I'm back at the file menu, simply because the mouse had been restricted using F5. If I wanted to go up and down, say a column, then I could press F6.
Only vertical. Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Chapter 1. It is possession. File.
You really only get the benefit of a vertical restriction if, for example, you're reading down a table with, particularly with figures in it, or, you know, maybe only one word at a time. Because this, if you're reading it one word at a time using the mouse, then it would make sense to put on a vertical restriction if you're reading down a column. I'm going to take the restriction off, though, by pressing F8.
Unrestricted.
And now the mouse can move anywhere I like on the screen. I'm going to move back up to the menu bar.
File.
On the file menu bar there. I'm going to press the left click.
File menu.
And then only vertical, which is F6, because I want to go down the file menu now that it is opened up.
Only vertical. New tab, control plus N. Open dot dot dot, tab control plus O. Open dot dot dot, tab control plus OO.
So if you have a menu that's open or some kind of list, it means that you won't go outside of that menu inadvertently as you go down the line. Now, obviously, Notepad and Microsoft Windows do tend to be accessible and we don't need to use the mouse. But there are programs sometimes when you will have to use the mouse to access a menu or some other control, and you will have to either move horizontally in a steady fashion or vertically in order to go down a list like this. And VMouse makes it possible with these horizontal and vertical restrictions. I'm going to press F8 to remove the restriction.
Unrestricted.
And move right up to the top left of the current window.
System.
To the system button. Now, we normally access the system menu by pressing the Alt key with a space bar. And from that, you can then size the window by maximizing it, minimizing it, and so on. Sighted people tend to just point with the mouse and click on it like this.
System submenu space.
And then I'm going to restrict by going only vertical.
Only vertical. Restore. Restore. Move. Move unavailable M. Size. Minimize.
So as you can hear, I can go down the menu after having clicked it with the mouse. But let's say, for example, I'm going to
systems,
clear out
chapter
of that,
zero,
go back
system.
To the system button.
System.
There we are. on the system button again, and let's say that I was just about to click on it and the phone goes, or I need to talk to someone. In that situation, I want to preserve my position, and you can freeze the mouse position completely, both horizontally and vertically, by pressing F7.
Frozen.
And VMouse says frozen. So now I can come back to my desk, as it were, and reach for the mouse, and even if I inadvertently knock it out of place, it will still lock it to the system button. I can then press the left click.
System menu.
And the menu will then open.
Only vertical. Restore. Restore R. Move. Move unsize.
And there we are. I'm going to remove the restrictions by pressing F8.
Unrestricted.
And escape out of the menu.
System submenu, chapter 01-19.
The document I have open are the first 19 chapters of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. It's not my favourite book, but it will do as a demonstration here. Now, the point about accessing with the mouse isn't simply to click on a control. Sometimes you have to read text, which is otherwise unavailable or inaccessible using even the review cursor and object navigation. So I'm going to go down to the body text here just with using the mouse.
Fixed in the minds of the surround, quote, Emma dot. Bennett replied that he had not dot.
Okay.
Chapter 1. It is a truth universally acknowledged, comma, that a single man in.
Right. Now, when you're reading with the mouse, you can set what is called text unit resolution. That's a kind of, or some people might call that granularity. And that is the units of text that NVDA will report back to you when you move the mouse over the text. To adjust this, you go into the mouse settings dialog, again with Control NVDA and M.
Mouse settings dialog. Enable mouse tracking text unit resolution colon. Combo box paragraph collapsed alt plus U.
And it's set to paragraph at the moment. This is a list box. And if I go up.
Line.
We get line.
Word.
Word.
Character.
And character. If you wanted to change to reading word by word, for example, you would go to this dialog.
Word.
Tab to this control. Select word. And I'll just press enter.
Chapter 01-19.txt-notepad. Edit multi-line.
And
Pride and Prejudice.
I can now read a word at a time simply by moving the mouse over the text.
Must be in want of a wife dot.
It will be difficult reading text a word at a time going across a page, but I'm going to put in the restriction, which means the mouse pointer will read only horizontally.
Only horizontal. Of a B, B is
go to
possession,
the left
possession.
Of the line. Possession.
Possession. Of A, but fortune, comma. Must. A wife dot. Of want.
Oops. B. Must in be in.
Want.
Want of a wife.
A. Wife dot.
All right. Now, if I wanted immediately to start reading line by line, I would have to go back into mouse settings dialog, go to the text unit resolution, and choose line, and then press enter. That's what you would normally do. But in VMouse, there's a shortcut way of doing this. I'm going to remove the horizontal restriction.
Unrestricted.
And then we'll talk about the last group of four function keys, F9 through to F12. Starting with the smallest units of resolution, F9 deals with characters, F10 with words, F11 with lines, and F12 with paragraphs. So I'm in read by word at the moment, but I want to read by line, so that's F11, and I'll press that now.
Mouse tab, chapter 01-19.tx.
NVDA will then just announce the window, and I just stopped it from reading there by pressing the control key. But now I'm free to move the mouse pointer down the screen, and it will read a line at a time.
It is a truth universally acknowledged, comma, that a single man in.
And again.
Possession of a good fortune, comma, must be in want of a wife dot. However little known the feelings or views of such a man may.
Now I want to read character by character along the line. So I'm going to press character, read by character button, which is F9.
Mouse tab, chapter 01-9.
And also horizontal movement only.
Only horizontal.
And then go along the line.
A, S, S, I, N, G, L, E, E, M, A, N, I.
So that's quite quick, just using those four function keys. And the good thing about using the pointer control keys in this mode, using the 12 function keys, is that I can do that with my left hand while my right hand never leaves the mouse.
Navigation keys mode.
One of the reasons why users of NVDA find object navigation and the use of the review cursor a bit difficult to understand is because, particularly when they're using a laptop, the keystrokes are many and varied and pretty difficult to remember all of the time. It's one thing trying to understand fairly challenging technical concepts of object navigation in NVDA, but it adds to the pain if you have to remember lots of keystrokes as well. That's where VMouse makes it so much easier with navigation keys mode, which, like the pointer keys mode, remaps the 12 function keys so as to provide easier access to the underlying features. Again, the functions are split within the three groups of four function keys. F1 to F4 deal with the review cursor, F5 to F8 deal with object navigation, and the remaining four deal with routing cursors and mouse simulation. So we'll start with using the review cursor in navigation keys mode, and the first thing to do is to go into navigation keys mode by pressing its hotkey, which is Windows Alt and F1.
Function keys. Navigation keys.
And VMouse says navigation keys. And just like pointer control keys, this is a toggle, so if you hit it again,
function keys,
it goes back to the default function keys. But we need to go back into the mode.
Navigation keys.
So let's talk about F1 to F4, dealing with the review cursor. This is quite simple in that F1 reviews back, F2 reviews the current, and F3 will review the next thing. What it reviews depends on the setting of F4, which cycles between lines, words, and characters as follows.
Review words, review characters, review lines.
I'm just pressing F4 there. It defaults to review lines when you turn navigation keys mode on. So I'm going to go to the top of the document I have in Notepad here.
P. Pride and Prejudice.
And the review cursor will be at the top of the document as well. I can read the top line by pressing F2, which is the read current line command.
Pride and Prejudice.
I can then go down the document line by line by pressing F3.
Blank. By Jane Austen. Blank. Blank. Blank, blank, chapter 1, blank, blank. It is a truth universally acknowledged, comma, that a single man in possession of a good fortune, comma, must be in want of a wife, dot.
And if I wanted to go along the line word at a time, I just...
Review words. Possession of a good fortune, comma, must...
Now that word before wasn't well pronounced, so I'm going to go back using F1.
Fortune, comma, good.
And I can... get it to spell it out by tapping F2 twice.
But G-O-O-D.
So that's the word good. Instead of having to use 9 keys on the numpad, we're just using 3 here, plus the F4 key to cycle between lines, words and characters. Some of the other functions of the review cursor have been emulated in this arrangement as well. So for example, you can put the review cursor at the beginning of the line by pressing Shift F1.
Left P.
And put it at the end of the line by pressing Shift F3.
Right. Line feed.
You can go to the top of the document by pressing Control F1.
Top. Pride and Prejudice.
And go to the end of the document, the bottom of the window, by pressing Control F3.
Bottom. For the affectation and coquetry of an elegant female dot.
And then back up to the top of the document with Control F1.
Top. Pride and Prejudice.
And to go into flat review, you press Shift with F2. That remapping of the first four function keys has essentially redesigned the way you use the review cursor in NVDA, and this is available both in laptop and desktop layouts, so you don't have to learn different keystrokes for the two different layouts. The whole of the navigation keys mode and the pointer control keys mode applies to whatever layout you're using. VMouse adds something else to the review cursor, and that's a thing called the VMouse review cursor. This isn't actually a cursor, but what it does do, it makes sure that the mouse is wherever the review cursor is when you come to press a mouse button. And to toggle the VMouse review cursor, which is on by default, you press Shift F4.
Normal review cursor.
That's normal review cursor, the normal NVDA one.
VMouse review cursor.
VMouse review cursor. And as I say, if you are reading on a page and you want to click on something, then you don't have to be bothered with routing or anything like that. If it's in VMouse review cursor, which is on by default, you just press the mouse button and the mouse will click where the review cursor is. The best way, I suppose, to demonstrate that is to go to a page on the web. I'm going to press a hotkey to go to my Firefox.
VI
applied.
I'm on my own homepage at vict-consultancy.co.uk, and I can go to the top of the page, Control Home.
Graphic VICT Consultancy.
I'm going to check whether we're reviewing lines, words, or characters here.
Review characters. Review lines.
And just go down the page a line at a time by pressing F3.
Visitor link graphic home, link graphic training services, link graphic website accessibility tests, link graphic access technology assess, link graphic contactless.
Now those are links at the top of the page. I'm just going to check to see whether I took off VMouse review cursor here by pressing Shift F4.
Normal review cursor. Contact us http://.
I was still in VMouse review cursor, so that's back on again. Remember that although I am moving down the page here with the review cursor, and it's the normal NVDA review cursor I'm moving, if I decide to click a mouse button, it will be at wherever the review cursor happens to be. So I'm going to find a graphic or a link to click on here.
Link graphic R chargers. Visitor link graphic podcasts.
Now that's the podcasts. So if I read that again using the current review line.
Visitor link graphic podcasts.
I'm on that. Now, because I'm on VMouse review cursor, I can just click the mouse button. And in navigation keys mode, that's emulated by F10.
Vict podcast dash Mozilla Firefox. Vict podcast document.
And I'll just press H to go to the first heading.
Podcasts heading level 1.
And I'm on the podcast page. So I actually activated that graphics link just by pressing the mouse button, because the mouse button was following the review cursor. Now, I could have, of course, activated that link in the normal way by pressing Enter, but occasionally you get links, and particularly clickable links, on web pages where pressing Enter or even the spacebar won't activate the link. But if the mouse clicks on it, it will activate. And therefore, having the ability to click wherever the review cursor is on the page solves all of those problems. So what about object navigation? For that, I'm going to switch to WordPad with a hotkey.
Document-WordPad. Edit multiline. Blank.
To better understand this, you really do need to know what object navigation is. And if you don't have a clue, don't worry. You might want to pause here and go off and listen to at least part 2 of the series of podcasts on special navigation features in NVDA. So F5 to F8 have remapped the object navigation functions in NVDA. F6 reads the current object.
Edit multi-line focused, blank.
F5 goes back along the same level.
Unknown 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 1, 16, 17, 18.
That's some kind of ruler in WordPad. I'm using XP, by the way, so there's no ribbon here. It'll be the standard menu and toolbars. I'll go back again with F5.
Unknown. 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 Standard toolbar. Formatting toolbar. Status bar. Application menu bar contains commands to manipulate the current view or document, or close button closes the window. Restore button puts a minimized or maximized window
now
back
just
to normal.
Pressing F5 to go along the various controls, which are at the same level as the edit window where you would type in your text. I go back again along this line of objects or controls by pressing F7, which of course is the next object key.
Close button closes the window. Application menu bar contains status bar, formatting toolbar, standard toolbar, unknown. Unknown, 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 what? Edit multi-line focused.
And then I'm back in the edit window. But let's go back to the application menu bar by pressing F5 to go back.
Unknown, 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 staff formatting tool status bar. Application menu bar contains commands to manipulate the current view or document. Alt.
And if you know about object navigation, you know that objects can have things inside them, contained objects. And I can go into this object by pressing Shift F7. It's like stepping down forward into this object.
File menu item submenu all plus F.
And that's the first item on the application menu bar, is a file menu. So if I just go along the same level of objects here by pressing F7.
Edit menu item submenu all plus view menu item submenu all plus V. Insert menu item submenu format menu.
I have the normal menu bar. And I, of course, I can go back up a level, back up to the main object which contains the menu items. I can do that with shift F5. F5, of course, goes back.
Application menu bar contains commands to manipulate the current view or document alt.
Let's go forward to the standard toolbar.
Status bar, formatting toolbar, standard toolbar.
Now that's a toolbar which contains buttons, and just like the application menu bar, you need to go inside that to interact with the buttons on the toolbar. So that's again shift F7. You need to step down into it.
Button.
It just says button when I land on it. I don't know what that does. I'll press F7 to go along the toolbar.
Button. Button. Separator.
Now, how many times do we go into applications or on the web and hear...
Button. Button. Button.
Too many times. Now, just as an experiment, I'm just going to activate this object and see what it does. This is the first...
No previous.
There's no previous. So this is the first button in the toolbar, and to activate the object... I activate the current object. So F6 reports the current object, which will just say button here.
Button.
And to activate that, it's like pressing enter or clicking with the mouse if you like. It's control F6.
New dialog, new document type colon, list, rich text document.
Right. It's the new document button. So if you were to press that, it's a bit like pressing control N or going to the file menu and choosing new. I'm going to escape out of that.
Document dash WordPad edit multiline.
And show you another feature which VMouse has introduced. And this is by pressing the F8 button.
Mouse tracks objects.
Mouse tracks objects. This is a special mode in VMouse where every time you navigate from one object to the other, the mouse is automatically tied to it. Now you can route the mouse at any time to whichever object has focus. You can always do that in NVDA. But this particular mode carries out this routing every time you move from object to object so that you don't have to do the routing. But this has a special effect in VMouse because VMouse works by reading out tooltips. Every announcement, when I press a button like...
Review words.
That's in fact a tooltip. And VMouse can only work properly if tooltips are set to be read in NVDA. Now, there's a spin-off benefit for this because sometimes when a sighted person passes a mouse over a button in a toolbar or some kind of icon, a tooltip will pop up and tell them, if they need reminding, what that button does. Now, we can't see that tooltip, but VMouse will report it when you're in this special mode, Mouse Tracks Objects. So that's been turned on. I'm going to read the current object by pressing F6.
New.
And it's saying new. If I press F7 to go to the next button, which you'll remember, it was unlabeled.
Open, open.
It says open. It says it twice, though. And I'll go forward to the next button.
Save, save.
That's the save button. That one doesn't seem to say anything.
Print, print.
Then we have the print button. So if I were to go back to the open button by pressing F5.
Save, save, open, open.
I can then activate that with control F6.
Open dialog file name colon, combo box collapsed, edit all plus N.
And that's me in the open dialog. I'm just going to escape out of that.
Document dash WordPad, edit.
And go back to the normal object navigation mode by pressing F8.
NVDA object navigation.
Now you don't want to be navigating using object navigation with mouse tracks objects on all of the time. The reason for that is because mouse tracks objects works by immediately routing the mouse to the object as soon as you have navigated by pressing F5 or F7 or whatever. And that has the effect of cutting off the speech. So if you do have a normally labeled button or control, you will find that that is truncated or chopped off completely if you have mouse tracks objects on. And so the mouse tracks objects facility is really only there for buttons which haven't been properly labelled, like that one. Now I'm going to move on to the last four function keys, F9 to F12. I explained in the series of podcasts on special navigation features in NVDA that there are essentially four different cursors in NVDA, which can be at different places on the screen at any one time. That's the keyboard cursor, the caret, where you type your text. There's the navigator object, which you can place using object navigation, the review cursor, and also the mouse pointer. And to some extent, you can route these different cursors to each other. But you have to remember, again, a whole load of fairly abstruse keyboard commands for that, especially on a laptop. But this is made incredibly easy in navigation keys mode because all of the routing functions are available simply by pressing F9. I'm going to start pressing them now.
Mouse to object.
Mouse to object. Press it again.
Mouse to keyboard caret. Object to mouse. Object and review cursor to caret. Keyboard to object. Caret to review cursor. Mouse to object.
And back to mouse to object. And if I wanted to execute that, I'd press Control with F9.
Tooltip.
And it's gone and done something. And it says tooltip because it's routed the mouse to an object which has a tooltip. And so NVDA is reading out the fact that there's a tooltip there. If I choose another type of routing where there's no tooltip, for example, I go
mouse to keyboard caret.
Mouse to keyboard caret and press Control F9.
Routed.
It just confirms and says routed, so you know that it has in fact done something. As mentioned before, F10 simulates a left mouse click and F11 simulates a right mouse click. You'll remember at the beginning of the podcast, I was showing you how to get the coordinates of the mouse, both for the whole screen and for the current window. And you can do this in navigation keys mode using F10 as the left mouse button and F11 as the right mouse button, holding down Control and Shift. So the screen coordinates, Control Shift F10.
Mouse screen position at 16 across and 131 down.
And the window coordinates.
Mouse window position at 20 across and 135 down.
And if I were just to press the right mouse button, F11.
Context menu.
I get a context menu, which is the kind of thing you would expect. And we normally do that by using the application keys. You can also lock the left and right mouse buttons for dragging by pressing Shift F10 and Shift F11 respectively. And to finish off the navigation keys, F12 doesn't do anything other than providing a very simple way of getting back to the normal function keys. So I'll press F12.
Function keys.
That says function keys. But of course, I could have pressed Windows Alt and F1, and it would have done the same thing. So what if you can't remember the shortcut keys to go from one mode to the other? VMouse has its own menu, and as long as you remember its hotkey, which is Control, Windows Key, Alt and M for mouse,
context menu.
You get a pop-up menu no matter what application you're in. If you press that hotkey, then VMouse's own menu will pop up. And the first item is
function keys checked F.
Function keys. It's checked because that's how the function keys are arranged at the moment. It's in the default mode. If I go down one,
navigation keys Windows, comma, Alt and F1N. Pointer control keys Windows, comma, Alt and left click P.
So it tells you the shortcuts for those two modes as well. And if you get used to the shortcuts on this menu, you can actually turn them off in the settings submenu. Let's go to the navigation keys mode by going up one.
Navigation keys Windows, comma, Alt and F1N.
And pressing Enter.
Document dash WordPad. Edit multiline. Blank.
And so if I press F4, it will cycle through the review settings.
Review lines. Review words. Review characters.
And I can go back to the menu again.
Context menu. Exit VMouse. Function keys F.
Function keys.
Document dash WordPad. Edit multiline. Blank.
And F4 won't do that. I don't know what it will do. I'll press it. No, it's not doing anything. It's not assigned to anything in WordPad. So that is an easy way of getting between the modes if you forget the hotkeys assigned to them. And that is in fact the same with all of the functions of VMouse. You will find equivalents on the menus somewhere.
VMouse text selection.
The first of the two new utilities introduced by VMouse is a special text selection facility. And to demonstrate that, I'll go back to Notepad. I'll just press the hotkey relevant to that.
Chapter 0.
Applied.
And back to the Daniel voice. And one of the great things about NVDA, though, is its ability to copy text at the review cursor, whatever the review cursor happens to be, whether it's an edited document or in a dialog box, a message box. And you do that by pressing NVDA with F9, and NVDA F10 completes the copying to the clipboard. A very, very handy feature. But if you want to delete or cut text in an editable document, you're left with the standard way of selecting text with the keyboard. And that can be not too convenient in NVDA because of the constant verbosity involved. It keeps saying selected. For example, I'm going to select a character at a time here.
Selecting I, selecting T, selecting space, selecting I, selecting S, selecting space.
Now, I don't know about you, but I find that kind of off-putting when it keeps saying selecting. It kind of distracts from the character or the word it's supposed to be pronouncing. So VMouse introduces a new way of selecting text in an editable document such as this so that you can then cut or delete the text. Obviously, the standard NVDA F9 and F10 is far better for copying, but this is a fairly neat way of doing it for cutting and deleting, and I'll show you how that works. Firstly, you put the standard keyboard cursor at one end of the text you want to select. So I'm going to put it at the beginning of the line.
I.
I'm just going to read the line here using standard NVDA command.
It is a truth universally acknowledged, comma, that...
I'm going to move the review cursor forward a word at a time.
It's a truth universally acknowledged, comma.
And I'll just move to the end of that.
That space, comma.
Okay. All I need to do to select the text between the keyboard caret and the review cursor is to invoke a special mouse click using the keyboard, Windows Alt Numpad slash.
It is selecting it as a truth universally acknowledged.
There we are, and I can now delete that.
Comma. Selection removed.
I'm just left with a comma. Comma. Because that was the text that I had selected. I'll just reinstate that with undo, though.
Selected it as a truth universal. I.
I can go...
Blank. It is a truth. I.
Down several lines with the review cursor.
Possession blank. However, be on it. Fix the rightful blank. Quote my heard that blank. Emma.
I have gone down the page using the review cursor there. And if I wanted to delete or cut that block, I would simply select it by pressing Windows, Alt, and Numpad slash.
Selecting 534 characters.
And there we are. And I can obviously press Delete or press Control X to cut that if I wanted to. I have been finding that absolutely great when coding VMouse, as soon as I introduced that particular facility, I was using it every day. It is so much easier to use than the normal Windows convention. In an ideal world, this very handy text selection utility would work across all the different document editors ranging from Notepad to Microsoft Word. But alas, it isn't a perfect world, and it seems only to work in the simplest ones, I'm afraid. So it will work in Notepad and WordPad, and if you're a developer, it will work in Python Console. But you can forget it. If you want it to work in an email client such as Thunderbird, or even if you are typing emails online, and certainly Microsoft Word is in a league of its own when it comes to messing up third-party applications such as this one. And if you don't have a numpad, if you're using a laptop or a netbook, don't worry, you can do exactly the same thing by using Windows, Alt, and F10. And you'll remember that in navigation keys mode, F10 simulates a mouse click, but in any mode at all, Alt, Windows, and F10 will do this selection utility. Just a word of caution though, when you have the navigation keys mode on or the pointer keys mode on, the standard copying selection of NVDA, the NVDA F9 and 10, are not available. But don't worry, because VMouse provides a substitute, and that's Windows key with F9 and Windows key F10, and in all modes, that will do the same as the standard NVDA review cursor copying.
VMouse hotspots.
Throughout the last part of this podcast, you will have heard me referring to hotkeys, which have been taking me from one application to another. For example, if I press Windows Alt and 3,
Vic Podcasts dash
applied.
I go to Mozilla Firefox.
Vic Podcasts dash Mozilla Firefox.
If I press Windows Alt and 2,
Document dash WordPad. Edit multiline.
If I press Windows Alt and 1,
Chapter
applied.
It goes to the Pride and Prejudice.
Blank.
If I were to press Windows Alt and 4, though,
hotspot not assigned.
I haven't assigned that. Another great feature of vMouse is the ability to create hotspots, and I'll talk about them just now. These hotspots are called temporary hotspots. There's up to 10 of them, and they only exist for as long as you are running NVDA and vMouse. So you would set them up as and when you load in a particular application. So for example, I'll load in an application and show you how that's done. I'm going to go to the desktop.
Desktop list.
Applied.
And I'm going to load up Spotify.
Spotify 42 of 40. Spotify.
So I have Spotify now as one of my windows, and I want to assign a hotspot to that. And to do that, I can use a short key of Alt and left click with a mouse button, Alt with F10, or Alt with numpad slash, and it's the last one I'm going to do at the moment.
Create hotspot dialog, hotspot number colon, edit focused Alt plus N, selected 4.
And you will notice that it has gone to the first control here, which is the hotspot number, and there's a little kind of edit spin box where you can choose the number of your hotspot. But the first free hotspot available here is number 4, since I have 3 hotspots assigned already. If I were to go down the list in this box,
3, selection removed, focus to Vict Podcasts dash Mozilla Firefox, comma.
So it is actually telling me that number 3 is assigned and what it's assigned to.
2, focus to document dash WordPad, comma. 1, focus to chapters 01-19.txt-notepad, comma.
Right, I'm going to go back up to 4, which is the free one.
2, 3, 4, not assigned.
There we are. If I press tab to the next control.
Hotspot applies to colon, combo box, current window collapsed, all plus a.
I have a choice of current window.
Whole screen.
Or the whole screen. But unless you want to have a hotspot on the desktop, for example, nearly all of your hotspots are going to apply to the current window that you are triggering the hotspot for.
Current window.
Press tab again.
Mouse operation colon, combo box, focus on window and move mouse without clicking collapsed Alt plus M.
Right, so for those 3 hotspots I have assigned already, I just got the hotspot when I triggered it to move the mouse pointer to the particular window. And if the window isn't in focus, vMouse will go off and find it and bring it forward into focus and put the mouse wherever the mouse was when you first created the hotspot. But the other options in this list are
left button click.
It means that when you activate the hotspot, not only will the mouse move to the position where you recorded the hotspot, it will also click the left button. And that could be very, very useful for activating a button or control which might otherwise be inaccessible. The next one down.
Double click left button.
So that gives you the double click option.
Right button click.
Or you can right button click. I'm going to move it back up though to
double left button, focus on window and move mouse without.
I don't want to click anything at the moment. Press tab again.
Hotspot should execute colon, combo box only when current window exists collapsed Alt plus E.
Now hotspot should execute, and there's a choice of 3 options in this list box. The default one is only when the current window exists. So for example, you don't want to be triggering a hotspot for a window that you've closed. There's no point doing that. So vMouse will check to make sure that the window you intended it for is still running in the background. If it doesn't find it, it will just return a message saying that the target window wasn't found. But if it does find it, it will go off and execute the hotspot. But there's other options as well.
Only when current control exists.
So that you can specify that even if it does find the target window, it still won't execute if it can't find the original control that the mouse click or whatever is intended for.
Only when current window exists. In all circumstances.
Basically, that means that there's no validation going on at all. It will just execute the hotspot in whatever circumstances there are. But I'm going to go back up to the default.
Only when current window exists. OK button. Spotify.
So I now have four hotspots. You remember that I was triggering them using Windows Alt and the number. And I'll go back to the website with Windows Alt and 3.
Vict Podcasts applied.
And then I'll go back to Spotify with Windows Alt and 4.
Spotify applied.
And it has its own configuration as well. What would happen if you forgot what you'd assigned to what keys? You can easily get VMouse to report what is assigned to whatever keys that are by pressing Shift and Windows key with the number of the hotkey. So I'll start with Shift Windows key number 1.
Focus to chapters 01-19.txt notepad, comma.
That's not the one I want. If I then press Shift Windows key in 2.
Focus to document-wordpad, comma.
Number 3 with Windows and Shift.
Focus to Vict Podcasts-Mozilla Firefox, comma.
If I wanted that one, I would then just press Windows Alt and 3.
Vict Podcasts applied.
And the focus moves off to that. So these temporary hotspots can be very, very useful in, at its very basic level, just for switching between applications or other windows that you've launched in a particular session. But there might well be controls that you want to activate in a hurry. For example, if I go back to the, let's say we go back to the WordPad, which is Windows Alt and 2.
Document-WordPad, edit multiline, blank.
And I'm going to navigate up to the close button, which will close the window.
Unknown 123, unknown, 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 standard toolbar, formatting tool, status bar, application menu, close button closes the window.
Right. Now, I'm going to use routing. In this case, I'm going to press Shift and numpad delete, which is the numpad way of doing it.
Object to mouse. Object and review cursor to caret.
It actually keyboard was object. On the right one.
Mouse to object.
Mouse to object. So if I then execute that routing by pressing Control, numpad delete, and then all I do is record the hotspot here by pressing Alt and left click, or Alt and numpad slash.
Create hotspot dialog. Hotspot number colon, edit focused Alt plus N, selector 5.
Now this is hotspot number 5 because obviously we have 4 assigned now. And I'll press Tab.
Hotspot applies to colon, combo box current window.
Which it does.
Mouse operation colon.
This time I want it to left click on that control.
Left button click. Hotspot should execute colon, combo box only when current. OK button applied.
Right. So if I move away from that by going to Spotify, for example, with Windows Alt and 4.
Spotify applied.
I can close WordPad, or at least click on its close button by pressing Windows Alt and 5.
Document applied.
Now let's do an Alt Tab and see if it's still running.
Vict Podcasts-Mozilla Firefox icon 2 of 3. Chapters 01-19.txt notepad icon 3 of 3, Spotify icon 1 of 3.
So the WordPad application closed there simply by pressing the hotkey, because it then sent the mouse to over the close button and then executed a left click. Great if you want to get rid of an application or a window in a hurry. Could be useful in an office situation, for example. But what if you want to save a bunch of hotspots for a particular application? Well, I'm going to get WordPad back up and running, and I'll show you how VMouse can do that. Now, the ability to create permanent hotspots which are saved with the applications is only available if you also have VTurbo for NVDA by VICT Consultancy. Again, like VMouse, it only costs £2.99 and is available from our products page at www.vict-consultancy.co.uk. The way it works is that VTurbo can store NVDA settings for each application, and it will store vMouse hotspots in those application files. And so that's why the two of them will work together to enable you to save hotspots. You can save up to 50 hotspots for any application, and they will be stored permanently until you change them or delete them. And I'll show you how that works. So I'm in WordPad. I'm going to go back to that standard toolbar, which you remember wasn't properly labeled, but we were able to read out the tooltips, which told us what the buttons were for using the new mouse tracks objects mode in vMouse. I'm going to do that again using navigation keys mode. So I'll go into that mode now.
Navigation keys.
And I'll read the current object with F6.
Edit multi-line focused, blank.
And I need to go back the way using F5.
Unknown one, unknown, 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 standard toolbar.
There we are. I'll go into that with shift F7.
Button.
And that's the first of them. So I'm going to switch on mouse tracks objects with F8.
New, mouse tracks objects, new.
And that's the new button. Now, the mouse is on this particular object, this particular button. So at this point, I can record a hotspot because the mouse is over it. So I'll press Alt and left click.
Create hotspot dialog, hotspot type colon, combo box temporary left parent current session only right parent collapsed all plus T.
Now this time, because I'm running VTurbo, the first control in the create hotspot dialog is now a list box where you can choose either temporary or permanent hotspots. The temporary hotspots are the ones that I described before, and the permanent ones are saved with the application. It defaults to temporary, so I'll press the down arrow.
Permanent left paren saved for application right paren.
Permanent saved for application. That's what I want. I'll press tab.
Optional hotspot description colon edit all plus D blank.
Optional hotspot description. Well, this enables you to label your hotspot so that you don't get confused. I mean, if you have up to 50 hotspots for an application, you will need some way of distinguishing them. So I'm going to type in this box the name of the button, which is new document. And then press tab.
Hotspot number colon, edit all plus N, select one.
Is one, because it's the first hotspot for this particular application. I want to click the left mouse button when I activate this particular hotspot. So I'm going to tab to the mouse operation list box here.
Hotspot applies to colon, combo mouse operation colon, left button click.
Left button click. I'll just press enter.
Doc.
If I were to move the mouse away just to prove,
one, two, three, four.
Prove I can do that, the mouse is now away from the toolbar. So before I execute this particular hotspot, just like the temporary hotspots, I can find out what the assignment of the first 10 hotspots are, because these are automatically assigned to Control, Windows, Alt, and the numbers from 1 to 0. Whereas, remember, the temporary ones were assigned to Windows, Alt, and the numbers. So I'm going to find out with Shift, Control, Windows, and number 1, what's assigned to hotkey number 1.
Single click, comma, new document.
Single click, new document, it says. That's the one I want. So I'm going to activate it with Control, Windows, Alt, and number 1.
New dialog, new document type colon, list, rich text document.
And there we are. The new dialog has popped up. Now, I don't need to do that in WordPad because essentially it is accessible. And I've got other ways of opening up the new dialog, obviously from the menus or by using the Control N. But imagine that this is a program which is not entirely accessible. And here it's demonstrated that you can save a hotspot, up to 50 of them, for inaccessible areas of your program. And this could be particularly useful if you manage to get sighted assistance to point the mouse at the area where you can then record a hotspot, label it, and then you'll be able to retrieve it yourself later on. I'm going to add another two hotspots in this toolbar, so I'm going to escape out of this and use object navigation in vMouse using navigation keys to go back up to the toolbar.
NVDA object navigation. Edit multi-line focus unknown one unknown standard toolbar. New button. Button.
That's the unlabeled one.
Open. Mouse tracks objects. Open.
No, it said open because I put in mouse tracks objects mode. So the mouse is hovering over that button. So I'm going to record the hotspot with Alt left click.
Create hotspot dialog, hotspot.
It's going to be a permanent one.
Permanent left, parent saved, optional hotspot description, colon, edit all plus D. Open. Hotspot number, colon, edit all plus N, selected 2.
And just as with the temporary hotspots, the dialog itself will tell you what the other hotspots, which have already been assigned, what they are, have been assigned to. I'll arrow down to number 1.
1, single click, comma, new document, selection removed.
And it tells me what it's assigned to. So I'll go back up to number 2, which is...
2, not assigned.
And again, I want it to left click on this particular button.
Hotspot applies to colon, mouse operation, colon, left button click, document dash, word pad,
enter, and edit. That's assigned. So if I move the mouse away just to prove Spotify. That this works, I'm going to press Control, Alt, Windows, and 2.
Open dialog file name, colon, combo box collapsed, edit all plus N.
And there it has opened the open dialog. I'll quickly do the last one I want to do, just to show you how quickly you can do this.
Document. NVDA object navigation. Edit multi-line for standard toolbar. Button. Open button. Button. No previous. Open button. Button. Save. Mouse tracks objects. Save.
Alt-click.
Create hotspot. Permanent left. Optional hot. Save. Hotspot num. Hotspot upholstery screen. Hotspot number, colon, edit all plus N, selector 3.
It's 3.
Hotspot applies to colon, combo box holster, mouse operation, colon, combo left button click, document dash, word pad, edit multi-line.
There we are. And that's it assigned. And I can test that it has been assigned to that hotkey by pressing Control, Windows key, and Shift with the number 3.
Single click, comma, save button.
You might be thinking, hang on, you can store up to 50 hotspots, but you can only assign 10 of them to the numbers 1 to 0 with Control, Windows, and Alt. This is where the VMouse menu comes in. I'll press Control, Windows, Alt, and M, and that will show the VMouse menu.
Context menu.
And I'll just go down.
Function keys F. Navigation keys, Windows, comma. Alt pointer control keys, Windows, comma. And Alt and left click P.
That's the three modes that we encountered earlier on. I'll just go down.
Window restriction, Windows with either left click or numpad slash check W.
Now that was the Windows restriction mode which we encountered at the beginning with Windows key and left click, or Windows key and slash, and the numpad which toggled between whole screen and window restriction mode. But you can also toggle that from the menu here.
VMouse review cursor, numpad minus or shift F4 in navigation keys mode R.
The VMouse review cursor, you can toggle that on the menu.
VMouse object cursor, shift numpad minus check O.
And the VMouse object cursor as well.
Create hotspot dot 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 all with either left click comma, numpad slash or F10C.
The create hotspot dialog, you can activate that from the menu instead of having to press alt click.
Application hotspots dot dot dot.
Now that's the command for the application hotspots dialog, which is where you manage your hotspots that you've saved for a particular application. And I'll press enter on that.
Application hotspots dialog, hotspots colon, list, one new document comma, single click.
And so I've got a list of all the hotspots which I have assigned. Now I've only assigned three for WordPad, but it has mentioned number 1. I'll just press NVDA and tab.
One new document comma, single click, list item focused selected.
That's the new document button. If I down arrow.
Two open button comma, single click.
Open button and three.
Three save button comma, single click.
And of course, if I had specified double click, it would have said double click instead of single click. If I want to activate any of the hotspots in the list, then I can just select it in the list and press enter. Because the default button in this dialog is the next one, which I'll tab to.
Activate button, Alt plus A.
Activate button, or I could hit Alt and A. But that makes it very, very quick. If you want to go down the list and press Enter, you can activate any of your 50 hotspots. The first 10 of the hotspots in the list are numbered.
Clear assignment button, Alt plus C. Activate button, Alt plus hotspots, colon, list, to open button, comma, single click. One new document, comma.
So if I press the numbers 1 to 9, I can jump quickly to any of these hotspots. If I press number 6, for example.
6 not assigned.
It tells me it's not assigned anyway. For the remaining 11 to 50 hotspots, these will not be assigned numbers because they're not automatically assigned to particular hotkeys. on the keyboard. But by using single letter navigation, you will be able to jump to the label description that you give it in the Create Hotspot dialog. Let's just tab through the dialog and see what's available.
5 not assigned. 4 not assigned. 1 new document, comma, single click.
Right, if I go forward, we come to the activate button again.
Activate button, Alt plus A. Clear assignment button, Alt plus C.
The clear assignment button. Well, we've seen that some, the ones that we haven't assigned, that's from number 4 to 10, will say not assigned. But if we want to leave a hotkey empty, we can press the clear assignment button here.
Hotspots colon list, 1 not assigned, 1 not assigned.
Immediately it goes back and tells us that the selected one, number 1, is no longer assigned.
2 open button, comma, single click. 3 save button, comma, single click.
Okay, let's go forward.
Activate button, clear assignment button, Alt plus C. Delete hotspot button, Alt plus D.
I'll go back to the list.
Clear as activate button, Alt plus A. Hotspots 2 open, 1 not assigned.
Let's say I don't want an empty one there, but I want to move the other two up. I can delete this one by going to the delete button or by pressing Alt D, which I'll press just now.
1 open button, comma, single click.
So that number 1 now becomes the open button hotkey and
2 save button, comma, single click.
The save button hotspot's gone up to number 2. If I then go
1 open button, comma, sync.
1 is the open button. I'll go forward through the buttons again.
Activate button, Alt, clear assignment, delete hotspot button, Alt, move up button, Alt plus U, move down button, Alt plus A.
There's a move up and a move down button, which means that you can reorder your list of hotspots so that if, for example, you find that numbers 1, 2 and 3 are the keys that you press most often, you can put your favourite hotspots at the top of the list. And similarly, if you have more than 10 hotspots and you find that some of your later hotspots, the ones that don't have a number and therefore don't have an automatic key assignment, you can move them up the list into the top 10 so that they do have a hotkey assigned to them. I'll just show you how that works. We'll go back to the list.
Move up button, Alt, delete hotspots, clear assignment button, Alt, activate button, Alt, hotspots, colon, list, 1 open button, comma, single click.
All right, we're selecting number 1, so I'm going to move that down the list. And moving down, I can remember, is Alt with M.
2 open button, comma, single click.
So it's now saying open button is number 2, so if I go back up...
1 save button, comma, single
save,
click.
Save button is there.
2 open button, comma, single click.
If I just hit enter...
3 open button, comma, single click.
Notice that I can continue to move this down the list.
4 open button, comma, single click. 5 open button, comma, single
just
click.
Just by pressing enter, because whatever button I press, whether it's the delete button, the move up button or the move down button, it will retain focus so that you just keep pressing enter. You don't have to keep tabbing back to it. If you want to keep all the changes you've made, then you will tab forward to
activate button, move up button, move down, OK button, Alt plus
the OK button. Or if you don't want to keep any of the changes you've made, then you have to press escape or the cancel button. But do note that if you have made some changes like this and then go ahead and activate one of those amended hotspots, then that process of activation will also save those changes. I'm going to escape out of this dialog and we'll go back to the Spotify application.
Document-WordPad. Edit.
By pressing the temporary hotspot, which was Windows Alt and 4.
Spotify. Applied.
Right. Out of the box, Spotify is horrible from an accessibility point of view, and a lot of people are just unable to use this application. And without some serious knowledge of object navigation and the review cursor, possibly even the mouse as well, it is incredibly difficult to use. But I'll show you how object navigation, the review cursor, and VMouse enables you to find and play your favourite music. So we're in Spotify. I'm going to do an NVDA and T.
Spotify.
And I'll press NVDA and Tab to see which control we're focused in.
Spotify pane focused.
Which is not very helpful. I'll press Tab.
Edit. Blank. Spotify. Edit. Blank.
Now it will just toggle between those two by pressing Tab, so it's not informative at all. But I know that this edit box is a box where I can type in the name of an artist or the name of a song or album. So I'm going to look for music by Tower of Power, one of my favourite funk bands.
Tower of.
Press enter.
Power. Spotify.
And if I press the arrow keys to see where I am, Spotify is very inaccessible and I don't know where I am at all. So it means that I need to do some work with the review cursor here. I'm going to turn on navigation keys mode by going to the VMouse menu.
Context menu, function keys, navigation keys, window, Spotify.
That's that. And I'll make sure that I'm reading lines.
Review words, review characters, review lines.
And I'll read the current line.
Spotify.
Now, I happen to know that if I'm in Spotify, the flat review should actually work. So I'm going to press Shift and F2, which is the VMouse equivalent of entering flat review.
Spotify window. Soul with a capital apostrophe.
And then I can go down by pressing F3.
Soul with a capital apostrophe S apostrophe Tower of Power 4:57. Soul with a cap. What is hip question dash remastered LP?
I like that track. If I have the VMouse review cursor on.
Normal review cursor, VMouse review cursor.
If I then right click on this by pressing F11.
Context menu, player P.
I've got play as the first item on this menu, so I'm going to press enter.
Spotify dash Tower of Power.
So there we are. I'm just going to put the volume down a little by pressing Control Down Arrow, which is a Spotify keystroke. And then we've demonstrated that VMouse can be used to enhance your ability to use object navigation, the review cursor, and the physical mouse or touchpad in order to access windows and programs that perhaps you thought we'd never access before. And in the case of Spotify, which is a horribly inaccessible program, here we have NVDA searching for music and playing it, and you can also set up hotspots to remember what you've done, and it's saved with the application settings of VTurbo if you have that, which is integrates seamlessly with VMouse. So there you are. With VMouse and VTurbo, you can keep it funky. So if you want to buy either of these applications, then head off to the products page at www.vict-consultancy.co.uk. And if you want to leave a message for me or contact me for any reason at all, then you can contact me at my email address, which is paul@vict-consultancy.co.uk. In the meantime, thanks for listening and do keep it funky. You think you know.